Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast with Kevin and Chuck. Today, we're going to talk about building a survival network. We got an email at preppingbadass@gmail.com from Steve. And anyway, he was talking about, you know, lots of people who like to shoot guns and go out and do man things, you know, whatever. But it's really hard to get people to kind of commit and like actually prep and kind of do some taking care of themselves. And you always feel like when you know people like that, you know, they always tend to, you feel like they're going to rely on you. You know, you end up getting stuck where, they tend to, you know, have you as their fallback plan. It's like, oh, I have a plan for my preps. It's go over to your house. You know, and that's where it ends up. But I think like a big part of it, I think if you want to expand like your prepping network, you know, we talk about, you know, OPSEC and, you know, not people not knowing exactly how much you have. I think there's definitely that's a big part of it. I think you don't want to disclose, you know, how prepared you really are. But nudging people in the right direction and then starting to, you know, bring them into the fold as you really, you know, you see that they are taking the steps and really doing things, you know, in the right direction, then kind of taking them under your wing and saying, all right, look, you know, you could be doing this more, or, you know, I'm kind of strong in this area. Maybe you could develop the other. But I think it's more about the connection. And it was funny when he had mentioned this topic. I had just read this book by that Chip Gaines from Fixer Upper. My wife had, threw it in the library. And,
oh, Chip.
And so it was all about, it was
more all about dad jokes, because I feel like that's mostly that's Chip's where, game.
That's his game. It was more supposed to be on building a network. Mm-hmm. And you would think, you know, he's got that new TV network coming up, but it wasn't that. It was, you know, building a network of friends and people you rely on. And he talked about, you know, just really making a real connection with people. And, you know, he goes, you know, there were stories about, you know, people will talk and, you know, they're like, oh, my kid's sick. And people like want the details to go to the PTA meeting and be like, yeah, you know, I know this gossip and I know that. Or did you hear their house burned down and they lost? And it's like, you know, the person who like is like, well, I have more details than you, you know, and that kind of thing. And it's like part of their checklist. And I think it's that being real with people that really, you know, helps develop the connection. And I think finding that common ground, like finding a real connection with somebody, is going to be kind of your starting point on how to really get people to come on board. You know, when you find out, when you dig a little deeper and you find out what people care about and what's important to them, and hey, you know, this is really whatever, that's when you can kind of get in with the prepping and the whatever. It's like, well, you know, what do you do about that? Where, you know, when you see the whoever coming after the guns and the ammo, how prepared are you? I mean, you know, are you going to have more? And I don't mean to like protect your family from it. I just mean, oh, if it became hard to buy 30 round magazines, do you have enough? Do you have, you know, stuff like that? Do you have, you know, the guns that you want? Do you have, you know, hey, you know, I know you're worried about politics and whatever, and you love your family. You know, I see that food prices are really, you know, getting some inflation and going up and going, you know, a little out of control. Or have you been to the lumber store and seen how bad it is and how much things are going up? You know, $80 for a 3/4 sheet of plywood I saw somebody had. And, yeah. You know, I mean, it gets out of hand. But I think having that connection and talking about it is really kind of the way in. Like, if you can kind of, I don't want to say build up a fear, but point out the reality of what's important is really where you need to kind of build the connection. It's, you know, hey, you know, I know you care about these things because I've talked to you and I know what's important to you. And that's a big thing, though, is really listening to people and talking to them and kind of getting a, you know, a real connection instead of going through the motions. I know we do things where we go through the motions, you know, we start talking and it's like, you know, I mean, how many times, you know, people always say, oh, I get in my car and I don't even know how I got to work kind of thing. Like, I can't remember the steps because you get on autopilot. Well, a lot of people have conversations like that. I know I have guys at work who, you know, everybody we see is like, got a cough here, is like, hey, how's it going? And yeah, hey, how's it going? And, you know, you have your like automated responses. You know, oh, all right, how about you? I'll see you tomorrow, you know, or, oh, it's another day, you know. And but when you hang out with that guy, you'll see him say that to 100 people, you know, throughout the day. And it's just an automated response because you just get tired of thinking.
Right.
And right. I think, you know, that's what, you know, you need to be careful to not just be on autopilot. When you start connecting with people and really, you know, caring and listening, I think that's how you start to really develop the relationships. And I think in turn, that's how you start to bring them into the fold, how you can start to dig in and find out what's important and really make that connection.
Yeah, I think that's a big, it's kind of a big deal because you see, you deal with a lot of people that, you know, if you get down to it and really talk to them, a lot of people are preppers in a way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. A lot of people, you know, will stock up on, you know, on a few, you know, food items and a few things, especially after this pandemic here, where you realize that, you know, sometimes you go to the grocery store and they're not going to have what you're looking for. Yeah. You know, I know here going to the grocery store, I can find steaks, but for some reason, all of a sudden they're $8 a pound or something, you know? Mm-hmm. And I've got a freezer full of steaks. I'll wait till that, you know, that comes back down to a reasonable price. But I mean, it's a lot of people are realizing that, seeing that. And, you know, we've all been to the store and not been able to find, basic stuff like, hand sanitizers, soaps, all that stuff disappeared at the beginning of the pandemic, you know, and starting to restock now.
Yeah.
But I think everybody saw that. Everybody noticed that at the grocery store. Everybody noticed going to the lumber stores. You're not paying the same prices anymore. You know, lumber is out of control, like you were saying about the plywood. You know.
Yeah, I mean, no.
I think a lot of people are seeing that supply lines are not, you know, not necessarily always fixed, and it's good to have a little stock. Maybe they don't consider themselves preppers,
right?
But they're doing a little bit more now. And I think talking to people about those types of things can really get them excited about, you know, we're all trying to spend, you know, as little money as possible for as much as we're able to get, you know, that's right. Just common sense.
Right.
And, well, that's, you know, share those types of ideas and things with people. You'll find a lot more people are open and receptive to these sorts of conversations now.
Right. Well, I also like, I mean, you think of even like things like bullets. I mean, when people were paying 60 cents for a 5.56 round, you know, I went, it was getting kind of crazy and whatever. And I have a reasonable stockpile, whatever. And I'd gone to the gun store to pick up a suppressor or something. And they had quality ammo, not just junk, for like, I don't know. I think everybody else was selling it for like 65 cents a round. And they had quality ammo for like 50 cents. And I ended up, you know, even though that's way too much in my book, I mean, it should really be 20 cents. I was like, you know, I'm going to buy another 500 just because I'm here. And that was like 3 or 4 months ago. And now it's already $1, $1.20. I mean, junk is $1.10 for a single bullet. And it's like, oh, you know. So what I guess I was getting at there is as things are starting to rise, you see things like if you have a small business, you know, and you guys know I used to do like the home, like appliance repair and stuff like that before, and buying extra inventory as you see good deals come along and stocking up, in a way that's prepping, you know, you're planning and whatever. If you're a roofer and you're buying extra shingles because things keep going up, I mean, the way we're spending money and printing money, it doesn't feel like it's going to slow down this inflation. I feel like it's only, you know, starting to build. It's you know, we've been able to stave it off with in our minds because we're all getting these fat checks, and I think that's keeping people spending, right. And you know, because we keep getting fat checks in the mail. But when that stops, or eventually those aren't even going to matter, you know, I mean, things are starting to get out of control as far as pricing. And, you know, it's not stupid, but you figure if all your building materials are going up, well, that means that rent and housing eventually will go up, you know, and I mean, the cost of day to day, not necessarily. They just announced that the corporate tax rate is going from 21 under Trump to 28%. Which is, that's a big jump. And I don't know, any of you guys who learn these things about business, you'll find out that businesses don't pay taxes. You know, that's the, right. And you're like, well, they do. You just said it was 28%. It's going to be, and, well, yeah, that's true, but they're not going to pay it. You're going to pay it. And that's how that works. I mean, because they're just going to pass that extra cost of business on to you. You know, your property management company that handles your apartment complex or your HOA fees or, you know, any of that stuff, they're a corporation and they're going to have that higher tax rate. And guess who's going to pay that? It's going to be you. I mean, you know, yeah, a lot of us preppers, I'm, you know, sure a lot of you own your own home and that kind of thing, and, you know, whatever, we're all at different stages in life, but you know, that's the thing. I mean, that's, I think, why I own my own home. There's, you know, one of my kids rents at, well, two of my kids rent, but one of my kids rents and has super cheap rent. And where he is, that's the best situation he could be in. I don't fault him in a second for being a renter. And he's got money that he can buy a house and do all that kind of thing. But he's like, why would I when somebody just takes care of everything and whatever? And, you know, at the stage in life that you're at and your location and like that, you know, who knows what's right for you. But as preppers, I know we like to be in control. You know, maybe we're just control freaks or something, and that's what it's all about. But I can control, you know, my rent from going up and that kind of thing, because I already bought my house. I fixed it. You know, I set the level by what I chose. Now, can I control that my tax rate's going to go up? No. You know, my property tax or something like that, the assessment, that kind of thing. I can't control that, but you want to take the steps that you can take. And that's the bottom line. But I think these are the conversations that you could be having, you know, with your buddies and whatever, to kind of get them on board, where it's like, hey, you know, spending money on stupid shit when you're paying down and getting things under control, so that way you're not in a desperate spot. You know, right. When you're getting this tax money back and stuff like that, paying things off is good and not a bad place to be. And hopefully, you know, we're all getting closer to that every day. But on the flip side,
doesn't it make life so much happier when you spend that tax rebate on guns? Doesn't everybody's life love that so much more? Why pay off your credit card when you can buy guns?
Well, here's the thing.
My wife is always telling me that. We need to buy more guns and ammunition.
Exactly. Well, here's the thing. When things are going up with inflation like it is, anything you buy, it's like an investment.
That's right.
Those guns that I bought last year for maybe $300 are now $700 on GunBroker. You know? Mm-hmm. So who's to say? I don't think I ever really bought $300 guns, but that's what I tell my wife. I'm like, yeah, they were all $300. So, you know, but let's just say that it's been like three times, you know, exponential.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, yeah, everything like that is going up. And it's, you know, one of the other things I see because of that is, you know, just driving around my neighborhood is the amount of people that are growing, you know, are raising their own chickens all of a sudden.
Yeah.
That's growing up quite a bit. There's a lot of people that are getting into, you know, chickens, building chicken coops, you know, learning how to raise chickens and getting the eggs. I also see a lot of people starting vegetable gardens, you know. Yeah. And it might not be, those people might not necessarily consider themselves preppers, but they're doing it because they're concerned that things are going to get worse, you know.
Right.
They're concerned that they're not going to be able to get, you know, get milk and eggs, get fresh vegetables at a reasonable price. And those are the kinds of people, you know, those are the kind of people you want to start talking to, you know, having conversations with. You don't want to be tied into every person that you see raising chickens and growing a vegetable garden. But, you know, obviously some people are lunatics like Chuck. I wouldn't want to be in a prepper group with Chuck. Fucking crazy person.
Crazy.
But you want to start building relationships. And there are a couple of places where you can really start building relationships if you want to find some people to get involved and, you know, build a network. Some of the good places to go is like, you know, church is one of those places. Meeting people at church that share similar interests. I know, especially like Mormons, they're all about prepping. Other groups are like, you know, like clubs, like Boy Scouts, Lions Club, Freemasons. If you're in any of those types of groups, then, you know, that's another place where you can kind of get to know people and feel out, you know, is this person, you know, just a psychopath, or are they, you know, somebody that's concerned about taking care of their family and doing the right thing and being safe and being prepared.
Mm-hmm.
First responders, they're generally, you know, in that sort of prepping area, you know. Veterans groups, most of them are drunks, but, you know, few of them are, you know, decent guys. I'm not saying veterans, I'm saying people involved in veteran groups. You know, it can be touch and go with those guys.
I was willing to go with veterans in general as being drunks, but yeah, we have to make the disclaimer. Me and Kevin are both veterans. But then again, me and Kevin are both drugs. So right, you so, see a connection here, right?
Yeah. One of the groups I would say to be a little bit wary on are militia groups.
Yeah.
Sometimes these militia groups can be people that don't really have the same sort of mindset as you do. Sometimes they're led by charismatic, you know, people that you might not want to be involved with. Some of these militia groups are just a bunch of good guys trying to be ready, trying to be prepared. Yeah. So, it's also something to keep in mind.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I mean, you know, I always wonder, you know, somebody like Sam Adams, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you think of this guy, and I don't know that that's a guy I would want in my prepper group or want to be friends with. Like, when right. we look back on history, we're like, oh, that guy was awesome. You know,
yeah,
he really was led the charge of standing up. But he's also the guy who there's a good chance you're going to end up going to prison with, you know? It, you know, you got to kind of watch how you choose your friends. Yeah, think more right. John Adams or,
right.
you know.
Yeah.
That cousin they were Sam. Cousins, right? What's that? They were cousins.
John and Sam were cousins, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. John Adams, decent, intelligent, competent person. Sam Adams, crazy person who, now, you know.
Who are you going to have more fun with, though?
Oh, you know you want to go drinking with Sam Adams.
You know, he's right there on the ball.
If you were drinking with John Adams, he'd just look at you with a look of stern disappointment.
Yeah, it sounds right.
But I think a lot of these things are you have a lot of friends that are, you know, they'll agree with you. They'll say, yeah. Oh yeah, things are getting bad. Oh yeah. You know, you need to really be able to take care of yourself in these sort of situations. But then they go on and go about their, you know,
right.
their daily lives and completely disregard the conversation. They don't take it seriously. So it's, you know, it's one of those things that you really have to feel people out when it comes to these sorts of things.
Yeah.
You have to get an idea of what their level in preparedness really is and what they are planning on doing in the future for it.
I think once they get a taste of it, mm-hmm. it's kind of addictive, you know, it's kind of you know, one of those things that you get into and are like, you know, a little bit more, you know, you just, I don't know. Once you start doing things, it just kind of catches on. Helping out is honestly, like, if you really want to have a connection with somebody and you just feel that they're not, you know, they're not quite coming over. And I mean, this is a delicate dance. You don't want to set up where you're just looking for somebody that you do favors for and you're establishing that kind of, you know, precedent. So, right. you know, you do want to be careful, but just the same, you know how I know me and the guys at work, this wasn't something I started. It's not really my cup of tea, but like they have like a Facebook group that they all kind of share things. And, you know, a lot of them are, you know, different politically than I am. And so I'll always, you know, throw my things in there as like funny jabs, and they throw funny jabs in there at me. And, you know, we all have a good time laughing about the different stuff and, you know, but throwing things. So instead of just sending your buddy goofy memes about toilet paper or whatever it is that people text about, I don't know, that was the PG version. Usually they're pretty inappropriate and raunchy on the group that I belong to, you know, but what can I tell you? I work with some shady people. It's a group of engine builders that, you know, who knows? Anyway, what if you started sending your buddies, hey, there's a really good deal on this over somewhere, you know, when you come across thing. Hey, you know, Tractor Supply's having a big sale on this thing. And I know that your property, if we did some fence back there, that'd be really awesome. you know, if you wanted to get it, I would be happy to give you a hand doing it or whatever. You know, hey, look, they have a hand well that set up that's on sale and a really good deal right now. You know, we could go put that in your backyard and have that extra water source we had talked about. And how cool would that be? It'd be good for your garden in the back. And it also, you know, just be something you could count on if the power was out. So that's kind of what I was getting at, is you could just kind of nudge them in the right direction. You know, you could kind of, hey, you know, something's going on. Again, I'm not trying to set up more work for you. Nobody needs, you know, something like that. But kind of looking out for them, even if it's just pointing them in the right direction every now and again as good things come along. You know, hey, I was at the ammo store and, you know, they had all this. You know, do you want me to pick up some for you and you can pay me when I come over? You know, whatever, that kind of thing. Those are the nudges that can kind of get people in the right direction. And again, it doesn't have to be spending money. It's, hey, I'm going to this training thing in 2 weeks to go play with guns and really get some stuff. Would you be interested in going with me? I know you really like guns. And I think these are the kind of, you know, simple gateway things that you could really, you know, kind of get people in. Or, hey, I heard about this foraging class that whatever. Or, hey, there's this really awesome podcast I listen to. And it's not just about prepping, but these two guys are freaking entertaining as hell and they make me laugh. And, you know, I have a good time with it. Maybe you should be listening to it. I mean, if you found a podcast like that.
Yeah. What podcast is that? I haven't heard that.
Maybe Joe Rogan or something. I don't know. I mean, I just.
Who knows? All right. So, you know, another thing I was thinking about that, you know, it's a little bit touchy for guys, but you'll deal with a lot of people, friends of yours and stuff. And, you know, you might go over to their house and their wife is real big on, you know, stocking up on, you know, her pants, you know, really into having that sort of stuff, you know. And that's another line with that prep, you know. You don't necessarily want to go out of your way to start conversations with all your friends' wives and things. But the ladies have listened, you know, you know, those women, you know, you probably are one of those women that really prefer to have things prepared instead of having a, you know, emergency run to the grocery store on Tuesday night because you're cooking and you don't have any of this or that. And that's, you know, that really, that's a start when it comes to prepping.
Right.
That's a real good place. Just stocking up on enough food that you can go a couple of weeks without having to run to the grocery store.
I mean, my wife was big in the, you know, grocery department of having, you know, being prepared and having a stockpile on that before we met and that kind of stuff. But I got to say, both of us appreciate now, you know, that we're a little more prepared that, oh, we ran out of ketchup. No problem. We got, you know, four more in our kind of rotation of things. Or, you know, oh, I want to make something. Oh, I ran out of sugar. Oh, I ran out of flour. Don't worry, I got you, you know, and that kind of thing. The reserves are there, you know, and it's important, obviously, to rotate through it and, you know, be aware of your inventory. But those kind of things end up making life so easier. It's easy to get, you know, the wife on board and things like that when, you know, hey, not running out and not having to go to the store, especially when you're like me. I mean, actually, I don't know, somehow Dollar Generals or whatever end up popping up everywhere. Right. So I live in the middle of nowhere and there's a Dollar General. I think there is a Dollar General 2 miles in either direction from my house. And I'm like, but there's nothing else, you know, to go to a gas station or a grocery store. There's a gas station at like 8 miles and then a grocery store is like 12 or 13 miles. You know, it's not quite. Now,
I have to admit that being a prepper, I'm a big fan of the Dollar General stores, but you have to be conscientious because sometimes that the shit is in the dollar store because it's cheap, because they're trying to get rid of it because the expiration dates are rolling around the corner, you know. Canned soup is great when you buy it and you've got 2 years on there, but it's not so great when you buy a canned soup that's only got a week before its expiration date. You might save a little bit of money, but unless you're eating it that night, there's no reason to, you know, you don't want to stick it in your pantry with all your other stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely have to be aware, you know, what you're doing there, but. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So, yeah, just a lot of stuff going on. But bringing people into the fold and having a network, having people that you can work together with, and having finding people who have different skills and bring different things to the table, you know, will, you know, definitely make it better.
Right.
Where, you know, you have the broader thing, and it can cut down on your budget, you know, of what your preps need to be. I mean, obviously, you know, you need some level of first aid and you need some level of first aid training, but having a guy who that's his thing, you know, that works. Having a guy, you know, you need to understand how to maintain your guns and take care of them. And you should really be able to pull apart an AR-15 and put it back together. But having a guy who has all the armor or tools and the spare parts, maybe there's one guy that does that, you know? Maybe there's, you know, all these different things. Speaking of like Dollar General and stuff, I just wanted to plug that, you know, Mayhem Country Living on YouTube. I haven't seen a lot of new stuff coming out there. I know he's been kind of shy on
Facebook, I think.
On Facebook, yeah, so that's why I don't see it. But I know on YouTube he's got a ton of videos on like your $5 preps and things like that. Right. And he talks about Dollar General and really how to do it. So if you guys were interested in learning more on that, you definitely check that out, because I know the videos are still there. I don't know. I'm just not a big YouTube guy. So as far as like, I don't know, subscribing regularly, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, YouTube is valuable in the sense there's a lot of people there that have a lot of specific knowledge that are, you know, willing to give it to you for free.
Well, it's weird because I'm subscribed like to Mayhem Country Living, but then I never log in is my problem.
Okay.
Because I'm like, oh, I don't want people knowing my business. And then.
Yeah, we do a whole podcast about our business, but.
That's right. I know what you're saying. Yeah, you're willing to give me a pass on that? Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, the other option is the lone wolf, no club option. You know,
yeah,
doing it all yourself, insulating yourself from everybody else, you know, putting up fences and keep taking care of your wife and kids and doing your own thing. And, you know, there's definitely an advantage to that. But I think there's the advantages outweighed by the disadvantages you have by being isolated like that. You can't learn everything. You can't have every tool. You can't do everything yourself, you know? So, you know, it's important to have your skill sets together and have them as wide and varied as possible, because you never know what's coming around the corner.
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, a benefit to have people that you do favors for, that are going to do favors for you, people that have different knowledge sets than you do, people that have different skill sets than you do. And, you know, I think it's definitely valuable to have friends that have abilities that you don't necessarily have. And, you know, it's great to be able to help other friends out when they're having a time of need. But you don't want them coming to your house because they ran out of food and the grocery store is closed.
Oh, I know you got some.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I hear that a lot. I know.
I remember you showed me.
Whatever goes down, I know where I'm going. I'm going to your house. Don't come to my house, motherfucker.
You bring a tent, a gun, and some food. We might talk, but
I'll set you up in the backyard in a tent. But yeah, bring your own food, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you want to stand to watch, we're ready. You know, but you want to work my garden. We could talk, but you better have something you're bringing to the table, you know, and maybe that's a strong work ethic, but there better be something there.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing, you know, maybe, but like I said, honestly, joking aside, getting them, you know, hey, check out the podcast. Hey, check out the, you know, maybe throw them the movie or two that, you know, it's kind of cool or whatever, you know, have them watch Jericho on Netflix or, you know, whatever, something that, you know, you see is going on that, you know, point out what other countries are going through and what they've gone through. One of the things I laughed that when they were talking about raising the corporate tax rate to 28%, then our Secretary of the Treasury said, I think our plan is we just want every other country to raise theirs to 28%. Then people won't leave America for business.
Right. That makes less
sense. And I'm like, so we'll make it so there's nowhere to, you know, have anything good in the world, you know? But I swear that's definitely a road that we're heading down, you know, where there is nowhere to hide from insanity. And they just want more and more control, you know, people, and they as politicians, you know, people who get power, they just want more power. That's how the world works. I hate to say it, but, you know, kind of just talk to your friends, push them. But I think building the real connection is the key. Build a real connection with them and, you know, start offering and nudging and putting them in the where it starts bringing them in the right direction. And I do think it's kind of contagious or infectious where once you start prepping and supplying things, and then when they see the little things pay off, I think that's another big thing. You know, when the pandemic stuff in the grocery stores, I mean, we saw a lot of weird things disappear off the shelves. You know, you couldn't get paper towels or napkins. I mean, because, you know, I don't know if people were thinking, hey, this is going to be my backup toilet paper supply or whatever. I mean, whatever the reasoning was, it still mattered. I mean, you still didn't have these things, you know, and not being prepared kind of made life a little inconvenient for, you know, people. A lot of the big staples disappeared from the store and just different things. And, you know, people are having supply chain issues where, you know, they can't put out their products because they can't get, you know, the little parts to put it together or things like that. COVID really, the way we're handling it is taking a toll. You know, good, bad, right or wrong, it really doesn't matter. The bottom line is the end result is, you know, you end up kind of stuck. So just something to think about. And I mean, I think this is a great opportunity, a great time to talk to people about kind of getting them on board with prepping. I mean, obviously it's a little late. Would have been cool if they were prepping, you know, a little while back, you know, if they were a year ago, 2 years ago, I mean, man, this is kind of going on forever. But, you know.
Remember when this was supposed to be 3 weeks, a 3 week lockdown?
Look, if you guys just are willing to make a sacrifice for 3 weeks, then we can all go back to normal. And it's because you, a couple of people out there who didn't take it seriously, you're the ones who ruined it.
You three assholes out there.
You ruined it for the rest of us. Every time we're like, just stay home right now and it'll be good. And then you didn't do it, did you?
You didn't do it.
All right. You know who you are.
Yeah, but I think this is a great time because people are seeing that the stuff we're talking about, the stuff we're joking about, it really does happen. You know, these sorts of emergency situations really do happen. And you think of it as you know, oh, maybe we'll be in a bad situation for 3 weeks. But here we are a year and a half later, still dealing with the same bullshit. Yeah. And, you know, maybe we were rounding the corner. I keep hearing that. They've been saying that for the past year. We're rounding the corner.
Any day now.
Maybe we really are now. But, I mean, you have to remember, even if we do get back in a good situation, that doesn't mean this sort of thing can't happen again and again and again. And it could be worse. And it could, you know, it could be a whole different situation. But being ready, being prepared for these sorts of events is a big deal. And being safe and not having to worry about where you're going to get, you know, food for your five kids is, you know, that's a fucking bad situation. You don't want to have to be at the grocery store when there's a panic on, the lines are an hour long to get, you know, just get checked out for your one roll of toilet paper you were able to find on the shelf. Right. You don't want to be in that situation. And just because we're maybe rounding the corner now doesn't mean that we don't have something right around the next corner to start up again. Some other bullshit. We've got all these, you know, variants people are talking about. We've got all these, you know, there are a lot of countries in the world right now that are in complete chaos because of this situation. And we're talking about the United States. We have 20% of people are vaccinated, something like that. There are a lot of countries that are never going to get up to 20% vaccination rates.
Right.
There are a lot of places in the world where this pandemic isn't going to disappear. As long as there are people traveling in and out of your country, there are going to be people bringing this virus in and out of your country. So, so saying that you're vaccinated and you're good, you know, that's fine. That's fine. You know, if you're worried about them putting a microchip in you, whatever, dude, do your thing. Don't get vaccinated. I don't give a fuck what you do.
No.
But this is a real situation, a real world situation where bad shit has happened to a lot of people, and a lot of bad shit has come down the pipe. And even if you were prepared, you still are seeing, you know, last month my neighbor died. And, you know, she was 45. You know, we're not, you know, it's not all just, I mean, let me tell you, first off, she's somebody that refuses to go to the doctor because she thinks that God will heal her, and didn't work out for her this time.
Ooh.
But,
yeah, but you know, maybe, I mean, God just wanted to bring her home, bring her in the fold.
Yeah, God helps those who help themselves. And God isn't concerned that you don't feel like going to the grocery store and stocking up on a couple extra items when, you know, when there's not going to be anything in the grocery store next month. You know, you need to take care of yourself. You need to take care of your family, and you need to have like-minded people in your life that are taking things seriously. You know,
and there are some scriptures that tell you to be a prepper. So I'm just saying it's out there.
Right. And not to be all hard and heavy on everybody, but you know, I don't have a lot of tolerance for people that, you know, that procrastinate on all their bullshit so they can go out drinking with their friends.
Well, I like drinking.
Listen, who doesn't? But I mean, when things get serious, you have to have serious people around you. And, you know, I like to joke and bullshit, and I like people that joke and bullshit. But when it comes down to it, there are people that joke and bullshit and do the right thing. And there are people that joke and bullshit because that's their entire life.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to be conscientious of those types of people. You know, who do you have in your life?
And don't bother bringing those people into your prepper fold. You know, maybe if they're not willing to come on board, maybe they're not the right people, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's maybe the bottom line. I mean, I hate to get there, but maybe you need to find the right type of people. Maybe it's going to the classes, you know, and the training and stuff. You know, you talked about first responders and stuff, you know, going and learning about these things. People who are doing, you're going to meet people who are, you know, the right people, but...
Yeah, last week we did the podcast all on training and classes and types of things like that. And getting involved in those things might up your skill set, but it's also going to introduce you to other people that have, you know, the same sort of mindset as you do.
Right. So that's what I got. So you have ideas, things you want to hear about, things you want to learn about, email us at preppingbadass@gmail.com. That's how we got to this episode. You can also, a couple of guys out there, you know, happy to support us on Patreon, patreon.com/preppingbadass. I don't know. It just gives you the opportunity to donate $1, $5, whatever a month, and just kind of help fund the expenses. We do owe a few of you guys some patches, and some of you guys we've been, you know, talking to about it. I'm trying to get my butt in gear to get that going. It's been a little slow, but anyway, we're moving forward in that direction. So, you know, be patient with us. We'll get you there. But if you want a patch right away, don't sign up on Patreon because I'm a little slow and I'm getting there. But we're getting there, and they will come, I promise you. So anyway, with that, stay safe, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
The Survival and Basic Badass Podcast is a proud member of the Self-Defense Radio Network.
search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV. A life that has the stories to back it. A life to be proud of. It's a Winchester life.
Yeah, baby. 6'8 Western. Oh, mule there, baby. Right there.
Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep-sea adventures.
Coming to me.
Double. He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.